What's up, guys? It's Bridget and M this time. We are going to take over the podcast for a minute. Andy's at work, so I have me a different co-host. So, M, you want to say hey?
Hi, honeys.
Hi, honeys. Yeah, she said, I'm going to steal Andy's thing, and we're going to say, are you ready to get into this? See. And I was like, Andy will feel a tingle, and he'll be home in about 10, 15 minutes.
I will never be allowed here again.
No.
So, hey, honeys.
Hey, honeys.
This is honeys. It's honeys talking.
I was so going to go to Krispy Kreme this morning and get the Dolly Donuts for us.
And I forgot.
I know. They started yesterday. I was going to have us donuts this morning, and I was like, well, dang, no. I'm getting a coffee. I know Em's done went and got her Chick-fil-A frosted coffee. I was like, I don't know if we need all that sugar.
No, we do.
We should have.
No, we do.
Well, now we're going to have to do it
again. And now I need to go to Krispy Kreme and get us Dolly Donuts.
I feel like we should have. We should have had our
donuts. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, didn't you remind me yesterday?
Because I was busy. I forgot. But look, let me explain.
These messages don't take 2 seconds. Like, come on, it's Dolly Donuts. It is Dolly Donuts.
Emily is my Dolly friend. Like,
Hang on, let me stop you. Why are you calling me Emily?
Well, because I said it the other day.
Oh, you gotta be for real.
No, well, I said it the other day and I kept saying Emily, because I needed to make sure. But no, you're Em. Yeah. I even said it to Tucker this morning.
Isn't that
not
weird?
Thinking. I said, Emily's coming. He goes, who's Emily?
I know,
and I
like,
said,
that's
Em.
Me. Like, that's my life.
He goes, Em.
That one. Yeah, not Emily. Like, Emily is someone else, honeys. That ain't me.
That's my profession. That's my government name.
When someone calls me that, I'm like alarmed. I'm like.
That's like when Andy doesn't call me baby or something. And he says, Bridget. I said, oh, we fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're mad at me? Like, what did I do?
But I do need to back up and explain to everybody kind of. I told people a little bit, like, if you're. Oh, that was my pen, sorry. If you've listened to Booked, Bagged, and Tagged or any of us for a while, I always talk about my best friend, and it's Emily. Okay, if I'm not talking about Emily, I'm either talking about Andy's sister, Em. Sorry.
That makes me real special.
You are so special. So, like, y'all have heard about her, and I even posted a TikTok about her like a long time ago. They haven't. No, they've never talked to you.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of back up and explain.
We
met in kindergarten. We were in the same kindergarten class, and I will never forget one of my core memories from kindergarten is your daddy cutting that sweating.
I mean, oh, gosh.
Had that electric knife that wouldn't plug up.
I reminded him of this the other day. I was like, it's bad that, like, your sweat is so ingrained in my friend's mind that she remembers it from kindergarten. He's like, honey, I've never cut a turkey until that day. And I'm like, well
you did.
It was a real salty turkey by the time you got done with it, you know?
He was trying so hard. And he, like, let me say, he was one of the only dads. A lot of moms.
Oh, always.
So he was there. And, of course, being that he was a dad, they're like, you look like you know how to cut a turkey.
Like, it's like, what is it? Like, automatically, it's you.
It's like when my dad walks in a room, everybody's like, okay, you're going to pray for the supper because you're the pastor.
Yep.
Okay, well,
I'm about to come cry to you because you're a pastor.
Yeah. Like, Jeff
help
was like,
me.
Well, I'm going to have to be cutting this turkey now. And he was trying so hard. And, like, our two teachers were like, well, come on, just do it. Like, I don't know why they didn't do it. They knew how, apparently.
Yeah.
And he was cutting this turkey, trying his best. And he's just sweating.
It was
pitiful. Anyway, that's how we ended up as friends. I always remember that. And I was Britney Spears for Halloween because I was all about Britney. And Miss Emma over here was a clown.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I wore the Oops, I Did It Again Britney Spears. So I had on the clogs, the piggy tails,
isn't that
and everything.
So cute?
I walked into class, okay? And since I had on my little sports bra with my shirt all
just
tied up.
Just being the cutest.
Right. Em walks over to me and jerks open my shirt.
Damn.
And he went, you got a bra!
You never told me this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry, Miss Riley and Miss P.
You said, you got a bra and your little honker nose and everything.
Gosh.
But we were really good friends. Sorry, I had to, like, pause for a second and help her gather herself because we had to come back. We've been talking for an hour, guys, and we have 4 minutes recorded. So that's why. So anyway, we were really good friends in kindergarten, and then we each had separate classes later on.
How dare they?
I know, right? Well, then we ended up back in the same class in sixth grade.
That's a long jump.
It was. But the thing is, no. We had the same third grade class. because that's where I ended up getting pulled out and I was homeschooled for a minute.
Yes! Mm-hmm. I remember that. I did. I remember the day you came back.
Yes. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Veterans Day, fourth grade.
Amazing. What a memory.
Let me tell you how I got you. I come back fourth grade Veterans Day. I left the second half of third grade, okay?
Yeah.
The reason I remember that so well is because when I came in, it was when our elementary school and our middle school were still in the same building.
Yeah.
And I go in and I just happened to like see my cousin sitting in the crowd. So I went and sat with her. So that's just the class they put me in. So if I had went and like sat with you or Kelsey or somebody, I'd have been in their class.
Oh.
So that's just why I remember it, because I was self-picking my class.
Isn't that crazy?
They're just like, oh, she can go there.
What a vivid memory.
That's
so weird. I don't have memories.
It's traumatic. We'll get into that.
It is trauma.
So then we had like, okay, I have to tell the whole story. So me being two little girls, you know, we had our moments, and third grade is such an odd time because like you're growing up before the boys grow up, and little girls are mean to each other.
But you're still little.
And you are. And I just had it in my head. I'm like, Emily is so mean to me. And
I probably was.
But the thing is, like, I look back now and I'm like, I was such a brat too. Like, we were both just brats. Yeah. It's fine.
But we didn't know.
No.
We were little.
So I remember walking into sixth grade, open house, and your name was on my homeroom list. And I remember my mama going, oh no.
Oh no.
Are you going to be okay? And I'm like, yeah, we're fine. And no. And then I come home and I'm like, all I'm talking about is Emily. And she's like, are y'all friends? It's like, oh, that's my best friend.
Like,
that was our Nickelback era. That's what I bonded over. You liking Nickelback and me, that was our thing.
Honeys, I still love Nickelback.
I don't get the joke.
I'm a supporter.
I don't get the joke. I love Nickelback.
I would go to a concert if they'd have them indoors.
Right, indoors.
Because I get the sweat and jean from my dad. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I cannot function. And I don't wear deodorant, so it's like not a good mix. You know? So it's like, help me out. But anyways, I love them.
Anyway, so we got to be really good friends in sixth grade, and we were inseparable. Like, all through middle school, up until our eighth grade year.
Poor Miss Nicholson.
We'll get to that. No. I remember walking out of the bathroom, and we were giggling, and we had a teacher. I won't say her name. We had a teacher who was like, if you girls can't listen, then we're going to separate y'all. And me and Em just looked at each other like, we're just living. We didn't know what we did or why, but that was the trouble we were. And we had the same chorus teacher all through middle school.
Oh, bless her heart. I still think about her. I was thinking about her the other day.
She put up with so much. Because I feel like that's when... Let me explain. I think I've said this.
We were a mess.
There is not another person on this planet who has made me laugh like you can make me laugh. Because I remember having to stand there, and it's always funnier when you're not supposed to, not being able to laugh.
Like,
shaking, crying, trying to hold it together.
We called her so much
grief.
And
it was all in her class. And then we would have, like, all of these things after school.
You remember getting sent into the hallway? Yes. But why did they send us together?
But, okay, so... Now that we've kind of introduced how we know each other and what we know, we're going to get into like all the other stuff now, because there was a very pivotal point in our eighth grade year. I will never forget this.
Eighth grade was like the funnest, but worst.
It was the worst. Yeah. So if you're a listener of ours, you know a backstory to where in eighth grade, my parents got divorced. It was a very interesting time. But also eighth grade girls, eighth grade boys, they're all buttholes because we're all trying to figure out who we are, and none of us know.
It's such an odd age.
Like you're too young for some things, but you're too old for others.
And then you're all going through the like hormonal stuff. It's so weird. We're all broken out head to toe.
Oh, yes. So with my parents going through this whole divorce, my mom kind of was a very different person. And when your mom, who was a pastor's wife, to this mom who was like, drinking and doing all this, like going out and all
like
this.
One extreme to the other.
It really truly was. So I was confused. So of course I'm like, at this time I don't see my mom as doing anything wrong. Yeah. It's my mom. I'm going to follow her lead. And she may have not have done all the best things in the world. But there was somebody in mine and Em's life, this mutual friend of ours, who we like to call the pot stirrer.
Yes.
And
it was like entertainment for them.
They had
to create their entertainment.
Like, it was somebody who we were both good friends with, but I had a very close connection with due to another relationship in my life. I'm not giving anybody any clues. But this person is one of those people who thrived mm-hmm. on gossip and pot stirring and just mm-hmm. like being that, you know, the meddler. And they told Emily and her mom that I was going around drinking and smoking. I was 13 years old.
So sad.
But I understand from your mom's point of view being like, well, my daughter's not hanging out with somebody who's going to do all that. I get that. But to me, I'm like, I've been at my mama don't even see me. I'm with my daddy, you know?
So sad.
And I've told them before. I don't know if I've ever said that it was you.
Yeah.
But in my story, I mentioned that the night after my mom left, she left on a Thursday night. That Friday, I spent the night with a friend. Mm-hmm. That was you.
Yeah.
I remember going to your house and spending the night, and I kind of got a couple, like a day or so away from everything, and it was nice.
Oh, I remember.
It was really hard to, like, forget about everything. And so, anyway, this person just stirred the pot with us. So, they go and they tell Em and her mom that I'm doing all these bad things. So, of course, Em's mom is like, well, you're not hanging out with her anymore. Yeah. I didn't know that they had told y'all that. So, I remember being in computer lab, and I'm trying to talk to you, and you were like, I could tell you were, like, trying to, like, be nice but not talk. Because in your head, you're just like, my mama told me not to talk to her. Yeah. And I get
like,
that.
If mama said something, I was...
Absolutely.
To a T. Like, I didn't skip no...
Absolutely. Mm-mm. Well, it, like,
I was doing the thing.
We go from, like, talking every class period to where, like, I can obviously tell something's wrong. But I didn't know what was wrong. And then it's bubbling. And I don't even know if you know where I'm going with this, but it's great. It bubbled. Until finally, I was like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And we got into this argument. And we were in our homeroom class. And we're standing here talking to each other. And we start yelling at each other.
I don't even know what's going on.
And we're just yelling at each other. And I know the teacher walks in and he goes, ladies.
I don't remember this.
Oh, my gosh. I was so worked up that I made my mom come get me because I didn't want to have the next class with you. But, like, it was such a divide in our friendship. Yeah. Because, like, after that, we never...
And then,
like, we
the
talked.
Poster was probably sitting back like, hey, look what I did.
Oh, they did. I remember texting them on the way home, and I was like, I can't believe you told her that. Why would you tell her that? And he was like, stop playing dumb. You're not as dumb as you say you are. And I'm like, I never said I was dumb. I don't know why. Like, you're my... I can't say who they are. But I was like, why would you do that to me? But you were such a pivotal point in my life for... you know, you to be taken out of my life. Yeah. Again, I understand why your mom... I wouldn't want my kid hanging out with someone who they thought was out here smoking, drinking at 13 years old either. But you had no idea. All you knew was this. Well, you know, after that, we stayed... We just weren't
like
close.
I've always loved you.
I will never forget your birthday. Your birthday's ingrained in my memory.
Honey, like, yours is May 1st, 1995.
Woo!
Like, ask me how much you weighed when you were born.
For real, what time?
I don't know.
But no, for real, like, we had, like, had these moments to where our whole life, we kind of, like, were in and out, in and out, in and out. And then our senior year, not that we were good friends or anything, but we all sat at, like, the same little lunch table, like, me, Andy, you, and all of our other little friends. So we kind of talked a little bit more, and, we talked here and there, and then old Gabby. So, Gabby is our little third, what is it, three amigos?
She's our mom.
Yeah. Okay, so Gabby is Miss Hostess with the Mostest.
Gabby doesn't even have kids, but she's our mom.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
We are her kids.
She's helped us.
She's really our mom. Like, so, me and you have mommy troubles. This is why. She's filled in.
She's like, guys, come on now.
Let's get it together. I love you. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
So, Gabby and Emily you were 16 when y'all started getting close?
I think something like that. Yeah, because we dated...
best friends.
Yeah. And so, we just fell in the best
It was like
friends.
That one... Y'all had this one big group. It was like three girls and three guys, and we were all dating.
Yeah.
It was great. So...
Good times.
Then, she and Gabby got to be really good friends, and they stayed really close. Well, Gabby, bless her soul... She has this face that she has RBF. She does. And I thought she hated me.
I bet a lot of people thought that.
Well, no, that's what's funny is, like, I saw her at a wedding. My oldest was just a baby. Saw her at a wedding, and then we started talking on Facebook, and she was so sweet, and I was like, Gabby, I thought you hated me. And she was like, why would you think that?
It's
and I
just
was
my like, face.
It's your face. Well, we started talking more, and since her and Em were still close, every time I saw Gabby, I asked her about you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how's Em? What's Em doing? How's this? How's that?
And she's a train wreck. That's how that's going.
Well, then she's who kind of got me. We started all hanging out. And then once we all three hung out, that's when me and Emily were able to kind of click.
It was like magnets again. The magnets met again, it was like...
It was. And it was so great because me and Emily, we're going to get into a little bit of it. We've been through so many of the same things, just different ways, that we needed this friendship again. And we needed Gabby to rein us in.
When you were pregnant with your youngest, mm-hmm. when I seen you again.
Yes.
And I was like, immediately, I was just like, hugged you. And I was like,
I was sitting at Gabby's table. And
I remember you were wearing a burgundy shirt.
I was.
Yes.
I was. You know what the first thing I remember when you came in is, I was like, I forgot what her voice sounded like. And I was like, oh, there's
that. It sounds like bacon.
Molasses.
No, honey. You're molasses. I'm like fried bacon.
Oh, no.
With grease dripping.
No. So now that we have established how we know each other, how we came back to all of this, we're 20 minutes in. We're fine.
Oh, okay.
No, it's good. I wanted them to know who we were.
Okay.
But here's where we're going to get into a little bit of the nitty gritty, and you share as much as you're comfortable with or as less. I can, you know, we'll work through it. But something that you've always said, and it makes my heart so happy, is that I've helped you be a mom.
Oh my gosh.
And yes. Okay, remember in the last episode I said we might cry? Here it is.
I was crying on the way here this morning.
Stop.
I swear. I'm such a crybaby. I'm glad you gave a warning.
I did. So, when you are pregnant and when you have a baby, you always have to find that friend or that person who kind of guides you through it.
Yeah.
And my person for that was my cousin's wife, who ended up having quads, because my theory was like, bless if she can keep her. These four babies alive, then
she
can help
doing
me with mine.
Something right.
Something oh, right. Well, I took so much of what I learned, and like I said, I already had my oldest when me and Emily reconnected. I was pregnant with my second, and that's where we kind of mm-hmm. came back in each other's life. And Emily had a lot of infertility issues, and I did too. So I remember being at Gabby's, and you were asking me all the questions.
That's all we talked about, yeah.
And then, of course, we got on Snapchat, and I'm like sending books.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, because I remember what that felt like going through it. And it's such a lonely
space. You feel
space.
Like it's you and no one else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like you and this huge problem and no one else knows.
And I think what I struggled with the most is I knew Andy could have kids. So I knew without a doubt it was me that was struggling with it, you know. And
that's so hard.
It was one of those, like, it just looms over you.
Yeah. You're like, what is wrong with me?
Exactly. And my biggest thing, and I know you've said it too, is I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God had called me to be this mom.
Yes.
But I was so mad, and I was like, but God, I want to be a mom to my own babies too.
Yeah.
Not just all these babies around me who need me.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that.
Yeah.
But do you want to kind of tell, like, I know you've said Bradley's name, but Bradley's her husband. Do you want to kind of tell, like, infertility? That's because I don't want to tell that part. If like,
yes.
That's your story.
I can tell that. I guess I'll start by me and Bradley, how mm-hmm. we met, because we was trying to have a baby as soon as we met.
Yeah.
So, I'm not like, my past did not involve like a lot of drinking or anything like that, but we met at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we weren't like drinking, but he was like best friends with one of my really good friends, and which was a guy. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm friends with everybody. I'm not like a male only, girl only, whatever. So I had been friends with this guy. I met him in college, and like, me and him just had the funnest time because we'd always laugh, always joke all the time in class. You know, it was mm-hmm. terrible. Me and you all
yes.
over again, but college edition. And so one night he was like, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's go eat. And shout out Big Daddy's in Cornelia.
Oh, so
but I was like, okay. So he was like, I'm going to bring a friend of mine along. And I'm like, great. I have to meet somebody tonight. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I wasn't in that mood. You know,
yeah.
like to just small talk was not mm-hmm. in the mood for that. And so they're there before me. And I walk in and I see him. And then I see Bradley sitting with him. And I'm like, he is so cute. Like, oh my gosh, he is the cutest thing. And so I was like, hey. And he introduced us. And yeah, like I said, we didn't have the best past. And he was like, you should come to the casino with us this weekend. And I'm like, actually, I'm going to the beach. He was like, oh, well, anyways, we can go another time. He was like, well, you're probably not 21, though. And I'm like, I'm 23. And he was like, show me your license, because you look like you're in high school. I was like, okay. And lo and behold, we had the same birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, where were you born? And he was like, you know, same hospital as me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
I always love that too, because what's the funniest thing is, like, y'all weird. Look alike.
Yeah.
You have the same birthday. Yeah. The same hospital.
Yeah.
Like, it was just bound to happen.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. And, like, we were thinking about it, because apparently there was only two boys and one girl born that day, me and him, and then another little boy. And he was like, we were probably in the nursery together. He was like, you may have been the only, you may have been the first girl I ever seen. And I was like,
oh, that's even sweeter.
I was like, I better be the last girl you see.
Oh, I love
I mean, I love him to death, but, like, honestly, I could, like, kill him someday.
Oh,
but,
well, that's true love.
But, so, we, like, kind of bonded over that, and, like, I kept telling him, I'm like, you are so precious. Like, he just, the way he talked, and, like, he was just so sweet, and he had a little stutter.
Oh,
and it just melted my heart. Oh, and I love.
Do you want to dig deeper in your study of Reformed theology? The All of Life for God podcast, presented by Reformation Heritage Books, offers you weekly sermons, audiobook chapters, and interviews that will help strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. So what are you waiting for? Just search All of Life for God wherever you get your podcast and start listening today.
Presented by Reformation Heritage Books.
But, like, I just loved him, like, the way he talked and everything. And, like, we just had, like, it was just so, we were so similar.
He's a really funny guy.
Yeah, that's really corny.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But after that, like, we just started hanging out, like, us three. Mm-hmm. And we was, like, just, like, a little trio. And I kept asking our friend, I was like, he's real, like, I kept asking questions about him. And, like, he didn't really say anything much. Like, he would kind of, like, avoid, like, answering me. And I was like, you know, he's just like, I'm like, give me a Snapchat something. Or something. Like, yeah. And so he finally did. And I found out that my friend actually liked me.
That's what I was about to ask. I wonder if that's what it was.
Yeah. And I didn't know that. I guess I was like oblivious to it. I don't know. I genuinely thought we were just having like a great time.
Yeah.
And like going on these
little. And then he brought his stupid friend.
Yeah, these little day trips. I was like, this is fun. Like, really dumb of me. And like.
Do you talk to that guy anymore?
No.
Oh.
But Bradley does. Bradley's still friends with
him. Oh, okay.
And so, like, we would all, like, go to, like, the winery and, like, go on helicopter rides together.
That's the first picture I remember, or, like, seeing Bradley on that. Because I remember asking, I was like, which one is she dating?
Oh, gosh. I hate that that looked like that.
No, not in a bad way, but I knew you liked somebody.
I would never do that to somebody. I had no idea. No, I mean, I was oblivious. And I asked Bradley one day, I was like, do you not like me back? And he was like, well, our friend likes you, so you're off limits. And I'm like, but I don't like him like that.
Yeah.
And so we kind of just, you know, did our thing and started dating. And like I said, we were living a very sinful life. And we just, like.
Well, you had a lot going on.
I did.
I mean, you don't have to go into that. Yeah. But at the time you and Bradley got together, you both had a lot going
on. Yeah. We both come from, like, rocky, I guess, backgrounds. But we, I knew that I would have trouble probably having
you
babies.
You need to explain your heart stuff.
Okay.
That way, because that kind of goes hand in hand.
Okay. So, like, I was like, you're my soulmate. Like, I love you. And, like, he felt the same way. And so, like, we just tried having, you know. And we had a hard time. And he proposed to me 3 months into dating. Like, that sounds insane. But he did. And, like, 6 months later, we got married, like, after work one day. And
so not what I pictured. Not in a bad way.
No.
But, like, I pictured you having, like, this huge wedding.
But see, I've never, like, as a little girl, I was never like that one that was like, dream about your wedding day. No, never.
Really?
I do not care.
Like, let me, okay, no. For perspective here, Miss Emily, she won every single homecoming when we were in school. She was the prom queen.
That's weird, ain't it?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, well, what's the next dress gonna be?
No.
Because I was like, you won every single homecoming. You were the prom queen. And I was like, oh, it's gonna be a blowout.
No, honeys. We paid the preacher $150. I didn't have a dress. Nothing. We just wanted to be. I wore a romper from a boutique I got the day before. Mm-hmm. But we left work one day and we were like, we just want to be married. So let's go get married. So we did. Like, I didn't have nothing. My stepmom got me a bouquet of flowers from Kroger.
No.
And, like, that's how we did it. But backtracking a little bit, October 13th, 2018, I'll never forget, me and Bradley went to a tag show. And because he loves tags, he collects tags. And so we were gone and back home at like around 1. And my mom, I love my mom. Let me preface saying I love my mom. But me and her, our relationship is very rocky still to this day. But she wanted to go to a festival with me. So he got me home in time to go to the festival. And I was knocking on the door, you know, ringing the doorbell. Nothing. She wouldn't come to the door. So I started calling her, wouldn't answer. She finally came to the door. Oh, this part makes me so nervous. Like, I feel like I can't, like...
It's okay.
It's hard to even think about. But she comes to the door and, like, immediately just starts cussing me out. Like, I guess I didn't get home at a good enough time for her. But she does that. And she doesn't know Bradley's sitting on the bench right there. Like, she doesn't see him. So he hears every word coming out of her mouth. You know, why did you come home? Don't come home. You need to leave. Mind you, I had been estranged from my dad for 10 years because of my mom. She didn't really like me talking to my sister, my only sibling. My phone was theirs. My car was theirs. I wasn't allowed to have a job. And this is at 23. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do laundry, cook, pump gas, nothing.
I remember when I spent the night with you, I was so nervous. Because everything was, like, done a very certain way. I remember you walking me through your room, and you were like, here's my closet. These are the clothes that I've already wore this year. Every time I wear if I wear this outfit, I put it on this side. I can't wear it again until all which, that's a pretty good system, I will say. She had that one going for. But I remember, like, going through and thinking, and, like, earlier that week at school, you had broken necklace, and she took us to the mall the next day, and I remember you had to go in, and you had to buy the exact same necklace to replace it.
Yeah.
And it was, everything was just very... meticulous.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Mama, if you ever listen to this, sorry, not sorry. yeah. And so, like, my whole life was very, like, walking on eggshells, like, I felt. And so, when she told me that, I was just devastated. I'm like, where do I go? Like, she's told
me
this.
Did you take her seriously when she said that? Like, had she ever said that before?
I did. Oh, she did. But... at this time, I think I was also sick of it.
Yeah.
But, like, what did I have? I couldn't do anything.
You were in nursing school at the time.
Yeah. Okay. I was in nursing school, like, at the number 2 rated nursing school in the state. Like, it was a very serious, you know, like.
You were already in clinicals, right?
Yeah. Like, everything. Like, and so I was like, okay. I'm, like, thinking, I guess I'm going to have Bradley drop me off at, like, my sister's house. And, like, she's raising 2 kids by herself. Like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And so he was like, Em, get your stuff and we're going to go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay.
When did she realize he was out there?
Oh, I don't know. I guess by the time I had left, like actually left. Yeah. And like, I think she was just trying to bully me, you know, like a good mom does. but so I got my little dog.
That's not Snow Baby, right? No. Okay, because I remember your dog
Snow Baby. Bless her. I love her to death. But it was Tater, my little chihuahua. She was attached to me. Like, she couldn't breathe without me, okay? So I was like, and I couldn't breathe without that thing. Like, she was like my emotional support.
You are a dog person.
I'm a dog girl. But so I got her little 3-pound self, and I got my book bag, and I got like my luggage, packed my scrubs in there, and a couple outfits. And honey,
I'm surprised you were able to get that.
Oh, I snuck it. She was in her bed at 1 in the afternoon. She just thought I was gonna go in there and cry, I guess, like normal.
So she didn't really expect you to leave.
I don't think so. So
would you have left if Bradley hadn't have said, "Come on"?
No, because I wouldn't have had any way to leave.
Yeah,
I never would have. He really changed my life, like really changed my life in so many ways. So we went to Walmart, and he was like, get what you need, you know, because I didn't think about getting toothbrush, toothpaste, all that stuff. So we're pushing my little dog Tater in. I mean, she's tiny, and, you know, people are ooing and awing over, and I'm just, like, crying my eyes out just pushing this dog through Walmart.
My life's crumbling.
And I'm
Look
like,
at
what do I do next? And so we do that. While we're doing this, my mom sends me a picture of Bradley's house, which she has never been to before.
That's creepy.
Never had been to before. He just bought this house 2 weeks before meeting me. So, like, this was a fixer-upper. And she sent me a picture of it. Meet me here, whatever. I need the dog back. I need this, 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 and this. And so, and she was like, if you don't give me the dog back, I'm pressing charges on you. And I'm like, that broke my heart more than anything. Like, that dog was everything to me. You know, like, she had been there through everything. And so we got back there, and it was a big screaming match in his front yard. And I'm like, poor Bradley. Like, he's going to think he's really getting in for, you know, something. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. And we had been dating for, like, maybe a couple weeks, and I'm already living with him.
Oh, I didn't realize that's how close.
Just a couple weeks. Yeah, it was crazy. So, like.
But I will say, I'm not going to go into his thing, but Bradley had a very rough past too, so I think he knew that you needed somebody because he had been in that situation before.
Was homeless before before he bought that house, like literally living in a shop, and it, like, he would bounce around from friend's house. Like, growing up, he never had a home either, like you know, his parents were in addiction and all that. But so, like, we needed each other, and, like, I think we really healed a lot in each other. But also, going back, because I'm a terrible storyteller, I was born, you know, with congenital heart disease. And so I knew, and he knew this, like, I knew it would be hard for me to have babies, you know, have kids. And so the older I got, the harder it was going to be on me. And so I think that's why we, you know, started trying to have babies as soon as we could. And, you know, we were having a really hard time, and we got pregnant on our wedding night. And that was so crazy. And, you know,
that was me and you were pregnant at the same time. Yeah. Me with my youngest and you with your first. Yep.
My due date was February, the same month of your smallest.
I mean, they literally would have been like a week, 2 weeks apart.
Yeah. And so I was like, over the moon.
Gabby was ecstatic. Like, she was going to have like these two babies.
Yeah. Like, it was, I mean, I was just overjoyed. And to find, when I did my first ultrasound, to find out it was on our wedding night, like, that was just the sweetest thing ever. Like, what a gift.
Yeah.
And so we went on our honeymoon, went to the Bahamas, and like I said, like, we don't have a squeaky clean past. Like, we would go to the clubs every now and then with friends or whatever and, you know, drink, but I was never a big drinker. And I did have, like, a margarita on our cruise. And so I got back home and I started feeling sick and started feeling this and that. And I'm like, I'm going to take a test, you know. Yeah. And I took it.
Did you really think it would be positive?
No. No, I didn't. Why did I not? You know, I had no idea not to, like, no reason not to think it'd be positive. But I took it at like 1 o'clock in the morning because I was like, I kept working myself up.
I'm
like,
what, no, if, you have
what
to.
If it is? And so I took it and I didn't sleep all night because I seen it and I'm like, I want to tell him so bad. So I waited till he got home from work and I told him, and I took a video of it, and it's the sweetest thing ever. And it was nothing crazy. I just put it in like a gift bag and he opened it and he was like, are you serious? Like, it was so sweet. I remember I couldn't even breathe in the video. I was just crying. And we had just told everybody because we were so excited. We told everybody. And and then we went to have another ultrasound, and there was no heartbeat. And that was at 12 weeks. And we never knew the gender. Like, we never found that out. But I know in my heart, or at least I feel like it, it was a girl.
No, I get that. My mom was the same way. She had a miscarriage. Yeah. And we even refer to him as Daniel. Like, it was a boy. That was Daniel. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, and I, like, I have, and Bradley's like, you don't really know. And I'm like, but I feel like it, you know? And I guess to, like, to him, like, he wasn't pregnant. Like, my body still thought I was pregnant for weeks.
That's the hardest thing.
It was so hard.
You go through, like, it takes a minute for your body to understand.
And, like, it broke me every day that, like, I still, like, was having all the symptoms. And they asked me, they was like, do you want to go ahead and do this? And I, like, in my head, like, in my mind, I could not, like, physically have them do that. Like, I was like, I want my body to dispel of this on its own. You know, I can't do that. I feel like I was doing something I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And so one night I just kept telling him, I was like, I think tonight's going to be the night it happens, you know, because I'd start feeling really bad. And we went to bed and, gosh, I don't want to get emotional.
You're okay.
But we went to bed and, like, I woke up in, like, a puddle of blood. And I was just so exhausted. Like, so I woke up and told him, I was like, it happened, you know. Mm-hmm. I went and got in the bathtub. I was like, come check on me if it's been a while. And I just kept having to drain the bathtub because it was just so much. I mean, it was not to be gory, but it was like someone had been murdered in my bathroom.
Yeah.
And he came in there to check on me, and he gave me a towel, and I went back to bed, and I just, like, tried to fix, I put towels and towels and towels down on the bed, and I was like, I'm just so tired. Like, if I might not wake up in the morning because I'm bleeding this much. And he was like, we're going to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, probably a good choice. I get there. I'm in hypovolemic shock at this point. I can't talk. I can't communicate. My body's just shutting down from the blood loss. And I don't know. It might be a little too much, but they put me in this room, like, immediately, like, I'm actively dying because of the blood loss. They put me in this room, and I am vomiting, and blood is coming out, and, like, when I vomit, it's shooting out.
Mm.
Is that too bad
no.
to say on you?
No.
But, and all of this is happening, and Bradley, like, I could not imagine, like, how he felt. Like, he's probably, like,
seeing something
yeah.
Like,
he said he was so scared, and, automatically I went back for a DNC, and I woke up, and you just feel so broken, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like your body failed you, you feel like you're not good enough, all this stuff. And then, you know, life resumes as normal. Like, you know, it doesn't stop. And so everybody's like, oh, how's the baby? And you're like, well, there's no more baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't really tell people until they asked. You know, because how do you talk about it? How do you say something, you know, like that? And
you don't want the sympathy.
Yeah, either. Yeah, but I do. I did want to be with people who knew what it felt like, but I couldn't. I mean, how do you say, oh, have you had a miscarriage? You know, like,
yeah.
How do you? So it was really hard. And I remember my grandpa, he got put in the hospital. He was dying of cancer. And I told him, I was like, Papa, I named my baby after your mom. And he had no idea I had miscarried. And I was like, please. Because I know my grandpa was going to heaven. I was like, please send me a baby.
Oh.
And I said, if you do, Papa, I would be so happy. And I would know that it was from you. I said her name was Dolly. Because that's his mom. And he was just, you know, he was just crying. I fed him his last meal, and that was like on my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
And the next month we conceived a baby.
I didn't know that.
The very next month, my next cycle, we conceived Essie. And I just know it was from him. And when she started smiling, like when she was first born, I swear it was the same gummy smile he would smile when he didn't have his teeth in.
Yeah.
But I had been on fertility meds for like a year.
Yeah.
And it was so hard on me. And I was so desperate. And I know this sounds so bad now, but at the time, I would go to different pharmacies and get my medication filled because I was like doubling up on it because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to be pregnant so bad. And I'm like, it's not working. It's not working. And so I was just, like, panicking. I'm like, I have to be a mom. Like, I wanted to be a mom so bad. Like, I've always wanted to be a mom. Like, I've never had a dream of being anything else. Like, I've never...
No, I get that.
Like, I've never been like, oh, I want to have this house. Oh, I want to have this job. I want to have this car. I want to have this wedding. No, I just want to be a mom. That's it.
I get that. On such... Okay, I'm gonna speak on my point of view
yeah.
here. My thing with being a mom and feeling like I was called to be a mom is because I knew it, you know, when I was younger, me and my mom were so close and I knew what that was like to feel that.
Yeah.
But then I didn't for
yeah.
so long. And I was, my thing was like, I want to be a mom, the mom that I didn't have.
Yes.
And I was like, I know without a shadow of a doubt in my heart that I'm called to be a mom. That there's something there because I raised
yes.
my brother. I raised my sister. Then
uh-huh.
I had a stepson and all
uh-huh.
these things. And I was like... There's no way, God, don't put this, like, yearning and wanting and longing in my heart and not feel it. And I'm like, that about killed me.
It is so hard, yeah. And so, you know, I got pregnant, and for months I didn't tell Bradley. For months I did not tell him because I was so afraid that something was going to happen, mm-hmm. you know. And so I didn't tell him, and then it was like December 29th, I told him.
How far along were you then?
Maybe it was almost 2 months I waited, so 8 weeks, eight-ish
weeks. Still, that's a long time to hold on to that.
I don't remember. Gosh, my memory's so bad. But, gosh, it seemed like it was months. Maybe it was like 8 weeks or six, I don't know.
Every day when you don't tell somebody, it's just like the longest.
And he, bless him, he was like, I was still, you know, vomiting and all the symptoms. And I was like, yeah, this medicine is just so hard on me.
Yeah.
Because he thought I was still taking all the fertility meds. I'm like, it's just so hard. And I was like, I have another Christmas gift coming, but it just hadn't got here yet. And I was trying to think of a way to tell him. And so we were building our house. Let me backtrack a little bit again. Mm-hmm. We were building our house at the time. And I remember it was just like framed up. And I was just like walking up the stairs, like, poor Bradley, bless his heart. He was like, where is this? What is this? Where is this at? Like, he didn't even know the layout. And I'm like, how do you not? But I was telling him, and I was just, internally, I was just thinking, like, God, this, like, I do not deserve this. Like, this is, like, a dream home. And, like, I didn't even want to build a house. Like, I didn't even, like, I wanted to stay in this house we renovated. Like, we had
fixed it up.
Yeah.
It was cute, too.
When I moved in with Bradley, we had cardboard boxes on the windows. We had no heat and air. Like, we had lawn chairs as furniture and a mattress. That was our furniture.
Oh.
And I just remember sitting in the bathtub.
Don't you remember how, like, love had you surviving during that time?
I could go back to that time, literally some of the best times of my life.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Loved it. It was
the best. We talk about that all the time. Like, I just wish, like, for 2 days, like, you could go back and enjoy the butterfly stage.
Yeah. Like, it was just like we had nothing. I mean, nothing. And didn't want anything.
And we were so happy.
I was so happy. But I remember, like, I love me a good bath. I love to soak, honeys. Like, I got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I was in there taking my bath. And, like, it might be October and not be real cold. But when you don't have no heat, them nights in the bathtub is real cold. So I was just like bawling my eyes out. And Bradley, we had like slowly renovated it, and you know, it looked so cute, it was so pretty. But I remember one morning waking up with a darn frog on my foot. Like, we had rough times, okay?
And snake in the bed.
And I had a snake in my bed on my pillow. Like, what is up with that?
I have nightmares from that one. The house was framed up. You were walking up the steps.
And Bradley just one day was like, let's build a house. And I'm like, okay, sure, like, whatever. So we was walking up the steps, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is like a dream, you know. Like, it's nothing I ever wanted. But, like, I loved, like, I was so living it, you know. And I kind of told God, I'm like, you know, whatever you have for me is what you have for me, and I'm fine with it. If you don't make me a mom, I'm okay.
I think he waits on that.
I think so, too.
Because it wasn't until I said the same thing that I ended up getting pregnant.
Yeah, and, like, I truly, when people are like, oh, give it to God, lay it at his feet, you're like, that sounds really good.
Yeah, like,
but,
I
like,
prayed.
Do you do it?
Yeah.
Do you do it? I certainly didn't. And so, like, that day, I did. And that's started my journey. I was like, and that was, like, right before my papa, like, I had told that conversation with my papa. That was, like, right before it. And so, I was just like, you know, I was okay, you know, but I still wanted to be a mom, of course, you know. And so, that happened, and I told Bradley and all this, and we finally, it took us, like, until Valentine's Day, or no, a little after Valentine's Day, and we finally started telling people, oh, we're having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, but
I remember when you told everybody on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you had a rainbow dress on.
Yeah.
And I, like, you had posted a few pictures,
mm-hmm.
before you told everybody, and you could see the rainbow, and people were thinking that's what it was.
I had no idea that would even be a thought. I'm like, people don't care. You know, they ain't looking into that.
Oh, no, you have no.
But yes, because I wanted to have pictures.
And they're gorgeous. They're these prettiest pictures.
Oh, my gosh. Haley is the best. But I wanted pictures of that time in my life because, honestly, in the back of my mind, like, if it didn't happen, I wanted that memory, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted pictures, and Haley was like, you have to have a rainbow dress. And I'm like, that sounds so tacky, but let's do it.
It was the prettiest dress.
It was though. So perfect for like what we were doing. It was perfect. And I'm like, I love those pictures. But so we did that, and we told everybody. And then I started really going to my doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. And they're like, look, you have to terminate this pregnancy. And
how did you feel?
Oh my gosh. I was like, I think I've just always, all of my life, been told such like morbid news.
Yeah.
Anytime I go to the doctor, because when you have the actual problem I have, like it's very, especially congenital disease, like a congenital heart disease, like it's so unpredictable.
You were so young.
Yeah. There's not a ton of people that have it. And like I had surgery when I was 4 years old. Like I had, you know, that, and I don't think I ever felt normal. I was always tired, never had energy. You're making that face, but honestly, like, I think it's just my personality.
Maybe
like,
that's what it is, because you are a ball of energy, I guess I see what you're saying, like, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, always felt so sluggish, like, and so I knew I needed to have another surgery, but I thought it would be, like, when I was, honestly, like, 60 years old.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have had to have one as soon as I did. My second one anyways, and they were just like, you have to terminate this pregnancy or you're not going to live. Mm. And as the kids say today, I was like, bet, you know, and I was like, let me show you, yeah. I know, as I'm like 50 years old.
Oh, hush.
But I was like, okay, and I was just so numb to it. I don't think I really took it seriously. And then they were just like, you have to keep coming back. Like, I had, like, it wasn't just, like, a normal pregnancy. I had to go to Emory. Like, mm-hmm. I had several appointments a week. Like, special doctors and all this. And it started really sinking in. Like, I'm getting farther along. I can't talk without gasping for air.
Yeah.
Like, this is a problem. And so, they were just like, yeah, we hope we see you back your next appointment, but honestly, we probably won't if you don't terminate this baby.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay. And I just started praying about it, and it sounds so crazy, but it's the first time I had ever felt the Holy Spirit. And I was just in prayer, like constantly in prayer, because I wanted this baby so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people were like, you know, you're more valuable than this baby. And I'm like, I just drowned that out. I'm like, how dare they? And I knew they meant it with love because they cared about me and loved me.
And Andy have had these same conversations because I'd asked him stuff. Yeah. I'm like, well, what if it got down to it? What would you do? He's like, I would be mad if you didn't do, like, say, not mad. Let me explain.
Yeah.
He would say, if you took yourself away from me,
mm-hmm.
I would be so upset. And I get that, what he's saying. But in my head, I'm like, no, this baby is already here. It's already a thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I had Bradley promise me, I'm like, if it comes a time when I'm not able to communicate, whatever. Because he's had to communicate when I can't communicate, you know? And, like, I'll just kind of look at him, like, when I had my miscarriage and I wasn't able to communicate. I couldn't talk. Like, I would just hold his hand and tears would be streaming down my face. And, like, he knows, like, what I'm trying to, he knows. And so I'm like, if it ever comes a time, like, you promise me, like, you're choosing our baby, you know? And so I just kept on. I was just in prayer. And I was in the tire shop parking lot, just, like, praying. Bradley went in. And I was just praying my heart out. And the Holy Spirit just filled me. And I'm like, it was the first time I'd ever felt it. And I knew that's what it was. And ever since that day, I had a peace. Like, I cannot, like, you can't explain
it.
There
was no shaking you.
No. And, like, I would go into the doctor's appointments several times a week, and they'd tell me the same old thing. And I'm like, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get to see my baby. I'm going to bring my baby here to show you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in. I was 34 weeks pregnant. We went to Emory, and I seen my cardiologist, and I had these echoes, like, all the time. And my it was so bad that, like, at any minute I was literally, my aorta would rupture because of the stress on it. And he was like, well, you're having this baby soon. And I was like, okay, you know, when are we gonna have it?
Yeah.
He was like, you're having it today. Okay. And I'm like, what? Like, what?
Let me pause from this. Okay,
my gosh.
So you're hearing M's point of view. Everybody else once we knew what was going on, Em had kind of started telling everybody on Facebook, like, hey, just keep us in your prayers. And the way our community came together to pray for you and that baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that is, if you got on Facebook during that week, that's all you saw was Em and Bradley.
And oh, my gosh, I felt them. Like, I really, truly did. And I have goosebumps right now talking about it. Because, like, you don't know the community you have until you go through something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had been anointed at church. And God bless Miss Kathy, just praying over my belly and anointing me. And, like, literally loving on my belly in church. And people probably thought we was crazy. But, like, that woman knew, too. Yeah. You know, she knew. And
the day you had that baby, though.
Yeah. I mean, they were telling us all this daunting news coming in. Like, she's looking really bad. And I'm like, I really want to have a natural birth. Like, I'm that person. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But I really wanted a natural birth. You know, I wanted to experience it. And they're like, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And I was like, okay. They said, we're not doing a natural birth on you. And I'm like, okay. You know, I guess I'm going to do a C-section.
Yeah.
So they got me ready. And, I mean, I wasn't scared. I wasn't nervous. I got up, put my makeup on.
Of course you did.
I fixed my hair.
You always are dressed to kill. Like, I don't think I've ever not seen you
put
together.
That hospital gown was looking real good. No, I remember looking at my nails, and I was so not prepared because they had been grown out. And, like, I wasn't thinking I needed to have my nails done yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, my baby's going to think my nails are ugly.
I remember putting makeup on in the labor and delivery room before I had my first. Yeah. And I remember my mother-in-law was like, oh, honey.
Yeah.
Oh.
Look. I was not trying to look homely having my baby, okay? But I looked back, and I was like, you was swollen.
Yeah.
You was in heart failure and you were pregnant.
Like, there was nothing. Heart failure and having a baby.
I remember them rolling me in. They're like, you look so beautiful. And I'm like, I look back and I'm like, I bet I did.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, when they prep you for C-section, like, it really doesn't take that long. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just so on their game. Like, they do this all the time. Okay, so Bradley wasn't allowed to be back there for a while because it took them so long because I was so unstable. Like, my vitals and everything was just off the charts. And so Bradley was like, I really thought you had passed because it took so long.
Okay, so Bradley had Gabby and was texting Gabby, and Gabby and me were in the group chat, and we were like, that Gabby is a very solid, strong person. She was not okay. Like,
I never knew that.
No, she was not okay. She was so nervous because we, like you said, like the whole pregnancy, especially toward the end, it was any moment you could have just went.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, here it is. It's go time. Let's do this. Yeah. And then it was a lot. Yeah. Gabby was terrified.
I was never scared. That whole time I was never scared.
And that's what I think got us is because we were just so worried. And you were like, I'm just cool as cucumber.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait to meet her, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just back there, and Bradley finally came back there, and they were like, you know, that turd didn't take a single picture for me.
Oh,
no, he did not. No. So this precious, precious nurse, thank God for her, she got my phone. She said, I'm going to take some pictures for you. I'm like, thank God. And that baby came out of my belly, the audacity of her. To look just like my husband after everything I went through that child.
Oh, yeah. But like we were talking about before we hit play, she looks like Bradley, but that baby.
Acts that baby like her mama.
She is you made over.
I love it.
She's so funny.
Oh, my gosh. She's a mess.
But, okay.
Oh, gosh.
You had the baby.
Yes.
And then.
That nurse was taking pictures, and I was so out of it. I had to go to ICU after having her. I didn't see her for 2 days. Mm-hmm. It may have been longer, but I'm thinking 2 days. I'm not really sure. But she was obviously born at 34 weeks, and she had, you know, respiratory issues. She was not feeding, and so I had nobody with me. Mm-hmm. It was COVID time. During these appointments, all these leading up to it, I was by myself, like going through this alone. In ICU, Bradley was with me. I was like, get your butt down there and be with our baby. Like, she cannot be by herself. Go be with her. I didn't care to be alone. I did not care. I was in so much pain. I was just out of it. Like, I was so unstable. Oh, but when she was coming out, I'm sorry. The nurse took this live video or live photo. And she was, they lifted her up for me to see her. And I couldn't see her. And they're like, you see her? And I'm like, yes. Because I didn't want to be like, no, can I see her again? I did that at my birth. Like, what in the world? And she took this live photo. And Essie had her hand up. Like, she was praising God.
Oh.
And it was the sweetest thing. And I'm like, that is such, like, a testament of who she is. Mm-hmm. And, like, our story. And... you know, Bradley was with her, gave her her first bath, gave her her first bottle, all this stuff. The girl was stubborn, still to this day, don't eat nothing. She would only drink my breast milk, only. And Lord knows it was filled with chocolate, but the girl, that's all she wanted. And so I was pumping in ICU, and that's how she was eating. But I remember just being mentally so unwell. I mean, I could not see my baby, I just had. Yeah. I was just not in a good place, and I finally seen her, and I was just begging them, like, let me go home, let me go home, let me go home. I was in there a week. She was in there for 2 weeks, and we transferred to another hospital closer so that, you know, I could actually sleep some. And mm-hmm. But I had no help. I had absolutely no help since we have two businesses. Like, Bradley had to, you know, he had to work.
And with it being COVID, nobody could
yeah,
really.
Yeah, no. And so, I didn't want people really around her anyway.
No, I don't
so, I was struggling taking care of myself with this fresh new C-section. Had no energy because I was in heart failure. Had this new baby that, like, wouldn't eat, wouldn't sleep. Had all the issues, you know, reflux, all the stuff. And so, I was struggling so hard. And I didn't realize it until probably a year later. I was in postpartum depression so deep and had mm-hmm. no idea. And people would be like, oh, I'll help you. You're like, I didn't want help. I felt so guilty for needing help.
I get that. Ugh. Because, like, I would have myself in this hole to where I was just so down.
Yeah.
But I would not accept help from anybody because I was like, no, I prayed for this. I wanted this. Then if I don't do it, then I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's such not a healthy, that's not where God wants you.
But I think that's so normal. Mm-hmm. Like, so normal because even now I'm like, I don't want anybody watching my baby.
No.
Like, I know she's about to be 3 years old, but no. Mm-hmm. I trust my best friends, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, so I needed help, but I never wanted it. I never asked for it. And I suffered so badly for it, you know, like, not accepting it. So, you know, a couple months go by, and you know me. I'm not trying to go into another doctor's appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's like, you need to go to your cardiologist. And I'm like, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't have the energy to go anywhere. She's like, that's exactly why you need to go to the cardiologist.
Yeah.
So I did. I went to a new one. Because I ain't trying to go to Emory for my cardiologist again.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've already had this baby. So I went. And he was like, he had to, like, do my tests again. He was like, just to make sure this is okay. He was like, yeah, you probably have about 2 months to live if we don't do something. And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, so you said you just had the baby? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, you gotta have your whole aorta replaced. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, he was like, I'm gonna make the appointment. And I'm like, okay. And then I start thinking, I'm like, who's gonna take care of my baby?
Yep.
That's my concern.
You were spiraling.
Oh my gosh. I felt so helpless because I'm like, my husband can't, he has to work. I just started freaking out and I'm like, I can't have the surgery. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't, like, who's going to take care of my baby? What am I going to do in the hospital? You know? And so, cause you know me, I ain't trying to inconvenience nobody. No, my gosh.
Not even in literally life and death.
No, I'm not. So I ended up being scheduled, having my heart surgery.
That was the one to where I was not okay.
Yeah.
Gabby, she was like, oh, she'll be fine. Because me, Gabby, and Bradley were all in a group text. And we're like, what's going on? How's it going? And Gabby was fine. She was not okay when you had Essie.
Yeah.
But she was fine in this one. But I wasn't.
She's probably like, the girl has already been through the ringer. No, she got it.
I was panicking because I was just like, I knew how real it was, I guess. And I, not that I didn't the first time, but we had gotten so much closer since then. And I was like,
oh, you were helping me raise my baby at that point.
That was like one of those, like, Emily would text me and she's like, what do I do? How do I do this? And I'm like, voice messages. I got you. I got
like,
you.
Like, you literally taught me how to breastfeed. I mean, everything.
Because
like,
if you don't have have that person, if you don't have somebody, I don't know how people do it alone.
No, honey, Google really can only help so much. No,
And that's the thing. You can't go down them rabbit holes on Google. Oh, gosh.
I know. I know. TikTok has taught me. Yes. TikTok has taught me. But, so they were getting me ready. I had 2 weeks before my heart surgery, before I learned the news and had my second open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. They had planned on it being a TAVR, which where they could go into my leg and do it, which blows my mind. That's even a thing. And I was like, okay. And I go back and I'm fine, you know. And Bradley takes a picture of me before I go back. And I knew in my head he did this because he didn't know if I would come out. I knew because Bradley don't take pictures of me. He's just not. He don't think of that. And he was kind of worked up that morning, and it was so hard for me to leave Essie at home that morning because I was like, should I have wrote her a note, you know, because I want her to always know what she means to me. And I was thinking, should I write Bradley's new wife a note telling him, like, telling her, like, his favorite things and, like, you know, it really went through my mind. And then, like, a nudge came over me and I'm like, why am I thinking like that? Like, that's not even a thing. Like, God's got me. Like, it's not, like, look what he has done for me. Look at all the things. Like, I'm not supposed to even be here. Like, and he, like, I'm here for a reason. Yes, you know, man. Like, there's no doubt about it. And I'm like, get that out of your head. And I just remember, like, on the way there, they're like, you know, you're not supposed to eat or drink. Honeys, I was drinking me some water and everything. And I'm like, look, I can't not. And I was going back there and Bradley's like, you know, I love you. Oh, and shout out Papa Rick. He is our coworker, but like, he is like a dad and he is precious. So precious. And he has always been my prayer warrior. Always been there through everything. I woke up from my miscarriage with him beside me praying over me. I woke up, or not even woke up. I did wake up with him right there after my heart surgery. But when I was going back, he told them he was my pastor to get back there to me. He was like, she cannot go through this without my prayers. And to know, he had him a shirt on that said that he was the pastor. And I was like, this is gold. Like, I love you. And he prayed for me. And like, I was just so at ease. And I just told him I loved him, and I'll see you in a few hours. I woke up, and I was so out of it. I was throwing my guts up, and, like, I just had such a bad reaction to, they couldn't pinpoint what medication. And I had never had that problem. Like, I was fine, and I just remember them freaking out, and I was waking up and I'm like, hey, you know, and then I just big old throw up and I'm like, hey, and then I look down, I'm like, my chest, like, and I'm like, what happened? And they're like, we couldn't go through your leg. They had literally cut my chest open. My first heart surgery, they did not do that. They went through my back. And so they told me, like, being a little girl, I was 4. So being a little girl, they was like, they didn't want me to have, like, the self-confidence issues, like, with it being literally right there in the middle of my chest. And you know me, I don't care, you know, scars tell a story. But I woke up and I'm like, what happened? And I was in so much pain. I would cough, I would sneeze, and throwing up, oh my gosh, it was, imagine throwing up with your chest literally broken.
Yeah.
And this will never be not broken. Like, I sneeze now and I'm, it's so much pain. I sleep so much pain. Every day it's so painful. But so thankful that it, you know, it happened. But I was so sick. And that night, I remember Bradley leaving and our best friend Jesse. They left me. And because Bradley had to go home to our baby, you know. And Jesse's got to work the next day. He was there the whole entire day, you know, waiting on me to wake up. And so I was there alone. And I couldn't even have an ice chip without throwing up. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't talk without throwing up. And they were like, look, you have to stop throwing up. You have to figure out what makes you not throw up so that you don't die tonight. And I remember just being there miserable. And with my eyes closed, I couldn't communicate with my nurses. I would shake my head yes or no and all that stuff. I would pat their hand like, thank you, you know. And I just remember laying there and I'm thinking, my husband has no idea I'm dying. Like, he has no idea right now. And I remember just when I woke up, I just told my nurse, I was like, please call my husband because I want him to know. And I think it was so early. I don't even know if he was awake yet. And I remember the next day I felt a little better and a little better. But that was the hardest time. Like, not only being away from my baby, but, like, not knowing what my future held. You know, like, I had no idea. Like, how was this going to affect me? How long would I have? They're like, you have about 20 years, you know. And that is so daunting because I was 27. Like, mm-hmm. I want to have grandkids. I want to live a life. And so, like, day to day, I don't know what my next day is going to be like, you know. And I have to get my INR checked, my blood checked, you know, to make sure it's not too thick so that it goes through my valve. Because if it doesn't, I can clot and die. And if it's too thin, I could bleed out. And, like, my whole life has just changed. And, but in that, you know, you're like, what is the reason for this? Like, why? Why do I go through all this? Why does this happen to me? And, like, people are like, you're so strong. And I'm like, not really. You know, like, you not really. And I would look at it and I'm like, what is this for? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this for? Like, what do I do with this? Like, how do I help someone else with this? Because I don't know any other 27-year-old that has this issue. No. Like, I can't be that sounding board for somebody. Yeah. I don't know anybody. And, you know, going into these doctor's appointments, being in the hospital, seeing these doctors, they all tell you the same thing. You have one thing in common with all of them. You're my youngest patient ever. I've never seen this in someone that doesn't have an addiction history or someone that doesn't, like, abuse some form of something. And I'm like, no. And, you know, sometimes I would wonder if they looked at me like that and thought, you know, she deserves this because she's probably done this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're used to seeing things like that in people who have those issues. And I'm like, you know, I'm just I'm just a young mom. And my doctor, they said that he was just the worst. They said he was so, so smart and so good, but his personality was just not it.
Yeah.
The moment I met him, he was the sweetest soul. And because I brought my baby with me to my appointment, because who's going to watch her? You know? And he just blew her up a little balloon with his glove, gave it to her. Like, he turned into such a softie. Mm-hmm. He was like, what is she, about 10 months old? I'm like, yes. He said, she looks like she's probably 13 pounds. I said, she is. I was like, how did you know this? He said, I just know.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did you know this? You know, like, but he was just so sweet and good to me, so good to me. And when I woke up from my surgery and I seen him, I was just like, the next day, I felt so much better. And I was like, thank you. Like, you gave me, like, another chance at life. I get to see my baby. Like, I get to see her grow up.
I see her mom.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, sweetie, like, you are so welcome. He said, I can't wait for you to be back home with your little girl. I'm like, same, honey. He's like, me either. But, yeah, I got home. And, like, when I was in the hospital, like, my sister and my mom and Bradley was all like, let me bring Essie to see you. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I missed her so much. That is probably the hardest time I've ever had in my life because I didn't have my baby. Like, I did not have my baby for a week. Like,
I can't imagine.
It was torture. I missed her first steps when I was in the hospital. And that was painful because I got home. And, I mean, I was overjoyed. And she walked to me. And I'm like, this is her first steps. Like, when she's seen her mommy. And then my mom said, you missed those at the hospital. And I'm like, did I really miss it? Because I don't really know. But why would you? I know. I that just have told you. I would have,
like,
never.
Like, working in the daycare, they'll tell you. Like, if she pulls up and she does this, you don't tell the parent they missed it. You just say, I think she's trying to. Maybe you should try at home.
Yeah, yeah. And that just broke my heart because I never wanted to be that mom who missed a single thing.
But, it's not like you were one of these out here at the club doing whatever. I mean, no. He was out here trying to live. So.
I know. But, yeah, that happened. And, like, that just...
And to see you and to see this baby now.
Oh my gosh.
The biggest bundles of joys.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all are so cute together. She is such a little mess. She's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
She said, I love you, girl.
Yeah, I love you, honeys. And yep. I'm like, yes, ma'am. And she's just so fun. I love her to death. But like, really, I have just had the time of my life. Like, I finally get to live and feel somewhat normal now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm able to, like, before, it was so hard for me to get out of bed. And, like, me and Essie would lay in the bed all day and, like, play in the bed. Because I did not have the energy to get up.
I can't imagine going through, like, the teething stages and stuff. I remember she wouldn't sleep.
It was so hard.
And I was like, okay, let's try this, try that, try this. But I mean,
it was so hard. I mean,
she was a hard baby.
She was a hard baby, and she had RSV and all the things. And like,
I remember, oh gosh, she had RSV one time, and
I know what you're about to say.
I hope not.
Oh, maybe not.
No, there was two things. You sent one. Me and Gabby were getting our hair done together.
I know you're gonna say,
and you sent us a video of Essie, and you had this humidifier in the same room with her. That's amazing. But you had it like blowing on her. And me and Gabby were like, oh, Miss M. So let's back it up a little bit. We don't want to drown her.
Yeah.
But it was so sweet. No, but I was actually that. Oh, and gosh. Then she had Bradley. I was like, okay, I have two humidifiers. Do you want one or whatever? This may have been the second time she had it. And Bradley went to Target, and he got him a humidifier, and he broke it. And I will never forget how
I was
mad
so mad.
Were.
Oh,
because you were like, I just wanted to do this, and then he broke the humidifier,
and
I
was like, so mad. And it was
on
like
his way.
Yeah, it was like it was like what 11 yeah. midnight,
and I was like, Andy's on his way. He's gonna bring you a humidifier, and you were like, no, it's fine. I'll get one in the morning. And I was like, no, Emily, for real,
so
it's fine.
I know, but like in that moment, I was like, what a man Andy is.
Oh, hush.
Like, what a man. It was the sweetest, most thoughtful thing ever. I'm like, because I know that man goes to bed early.
Oh, he does.
And he was going to come and bring my baby a humidifier.
He was so upset that he thought, like, I think you heard the episode, he thought that he was going to get to watch Essie today.
I know.
He was
so
sad.
It was so
like,
cute.
You know, Andy puts off this front, and he's like, not even a front. Like, he can be... How do I even say it? Like, he can be cold sometimes, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to, like, me or the boys, or, like, if a little girl needs help or something, like, you guys, like,
he's mush.
You, Essie, Cassie, no, sir. He's a teddy bear.
But it would make me laugh so hard, because when she was smaller, you know, like, they don't go to anybody. Like, they're like, mama, mama, mama. And we'd come over, and Andy'd be like, you think I can hold her? And Essie'd be like, wah! And I'm like, that's not going to happen.
He would be so upset every time she wouldn't come to him. And then we watched her, and you and Bradley left. And I think that was the key.
Yeah.
So once you and Bradley walked out, I have a picture of him holding her on the couch. And she's just laying on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he wasn't talking to the boys. He wasn't talking.
Just soaked it in.
He was just holding her.
That's so sweet.
It was the sweetest thing. And so I was like, don't you want another one? And he was like, shut your mouth. Let me enjoy my Essie time.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Because he always wanted a girl, but we never had girls.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason for that. I really do.
Gosh. It's so fun. And that is so fun, because when I was pregnant, I was like, oh, Bradley, this is a boy. Like, I just know it. It's a mama's boy. He's like, it's a girl.
Yeah.
It is a girl. He was like, and she's going to be daddy's girl.
Oh, she is.
And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, we found out. He's like, I told you. I'm like, how do you know? And I didn't know.
See, with Cooper, I knew 110%. I knew immediately it was a boy, because I knew I wanted a girl, so it was gonna be a boy.
It's like that would happen.
I knew it, but then I loved it. But with my youngest, other than finding out initially I was pregnant with Cooper, I've never been so shocked and floored in my life than when I found out my second was a boy too.
Yeah,
when Tucker was a boy.
Yeah,
because everything was so different.
Yeah,
and I knew. Oh, we had argued our entire marriage over even dating what we would name a girl. Boy names were
easy.
Oh
gosh, isn't that crazy?
We agreed on a girl name the week before I found out it was a boy. And we knew it was our last. We finally agreed on a girl name.
Oh,
we were
going to
name it Bellamy Drew.
I remember that.
Because our fifth grade teacher was Miss Bellamy and Andy's Andrew. So it was Bellamy Drew.
That's so sweet.
Makes me sick.
You have to tell her. Miss Bellamy.
Oh, I don't even know where she is now.
Isn't that cool,
though? I have to find
her. What an honor. Oh, you know what's a real honor? Me being your first guest.
I know.
I feel so special. I feel so special. I was thinking about that, and I was like, I don't think they've had another guest. And I'm like, I'm the first.
Well, and it's so fitting, because like I mentioned it the other day, but like I had such a hard time last week, and I was just going through it. And I'm like, I have like personal stuff, and then I have the business side of things I've just been struggling with. And like, I've mentioned it a little, and Andy had tried to pep me up, and bless him, he tries so hard to help me. And it's not that I can't receive the help from him. It's just sometimes I don't hear it as well, you know? And I was like, and he kept asking me Friday. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, nothing. And here I am up here squalling on a voice note to Emily.
Hello.
And I mean, like,
I don't let people hear our voice notes.
Good.
It's personal.
Good.
I don't.
It's my own little secret podcast.
I know it.
But, I mean, like, I've been struggling with the podcast switch in general, because it's just like your whole life just gets kind of turned upside down. And I've been really struggling with my weight, and that has always been a very big, like, big thing for me. Like, I'm very self-conscious about it. And I've been struggling with it. And it was, like, all of, like, the four or five things that bothered me the most in one little group.
Yeah.
And I've just, I don't
so
even
so overwhelming.
I have. And then, like, I'm, like, bawling my eyes out to you. And you always tell me, you're like, you know, you've inspired me to read the Bible, or you've inspired me to do this. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And then I'm crying to you, and you're like feeding me, and I'm like, I need you. I needed it so much.
Oh my gosh,
you have no idea. So it's so fitting that you are our first guest, because you earned it, girlfriend. Like, I'm telling you, like, you don't understand.
Well, you're always that person for me. Like, I just know you get me. You know, you just know. And, like, I always come to you, and I feel like I always take from you.
No.
But I'm never, like, someone who can give it, because I don't feel like I'm that kind of person. Like, I don't feel like people come to me for stuff like that. Like, I feel like I'm a seeker for things like that, because, like, I don't, you know, I don't have a good relationship with my mom and, like, stuff like that.
Well,
like,
that's the criteria. I shouldn't be talking.
Honeys, I know. I just feel like you've just been mama.
But I'm telling you, I think there's a reason that me and you have always clicked. And, I mean, yeah, there's been times where we, you know, when we were younger growing up, being kids, we were kids. But we went through so much of the same things. And what's so funny is I didn't realize until we talked and we were older. Growing up, you have no idea how much I compared myself to you. And, like, everything you were is who I wanted to be. Like, I looked to you
for
everything.
But isn't that so weird? Because I was, like, the same way.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I did not know that until we were talking. Yeah. And, like, me looking at you at all this stuff, and then you had turned around and you were like, no, Bridget. Like, I wanted this or that. Yeah. And I'm like, that blows my mind.
Well, I was raised by a single dad for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when we were young, like, I was wearing little boy clothes because, like, my dad didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't thinking about putting me in a little dress and fixing my hair. So, I'd come to school, you know, wearing little boy breeches and shirts. And because when my parents got divorced, I was 18 months old. So, they awarded my dad full custody of two little girls. And at that time, it was just unheard of.
Yeah.
And, you know, he raised us the best he could, but, like, I would come to school and I would see these little girls, like, fixed up with their hair in a bow, and they smelled good, and they looked so cute in their little outfits, and I was over here wearing Lord knows what, and, like, I looked at you, and I was like, you know, I always loved you, and you were such a good friend of mine, but I was like, I wish I was like that, you know, and maybe that's why I put so much thought into how Essie dresses and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm trying to, like, feel that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for when I was not that, like, clothes and stuff is everything to me, because I do not care. Like,
No.
Lord knows
know
that little girl
saying.
Is wearing Lord knows what at home. But I want her to have that.
No,
I don't want
I
ever her to ever
say.
Think that if she wants to be this or that she can't.
Yeah.
You know, or dress a certain way. You know. But I just look back and I'm like, you know, I think it built character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think our hard times built so much character. Like, we are interesting, okay?
Look, but there's this person in my life right now who has had a lot of mom issues over the last little while. And I had to like explain to them, I'm like, look, you're gonna have to learn how to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you're gonna cry all the time.
Yeah.
So I have gotten them in the habit of making these really dark jokes.
Oh, we're so terrible.
I'm just like, and I'll say it sometimes and people look at me and I'm like, if I don't laugh, what do I do?
What are we gonna do?
No,
you have to.
I mean, it heals a part of your soul to be able to laugh. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll have my moments where I still cry.
Oh gosh, yeah. Oh, Mother's Day was so hard. Mother's Day was so hard. And I was thinking about you on Mother's Day. And I know I texted you and told you Happy Mother's Day and stuff. But I didn't want to bring up your mom.
No.
Because I didn't want to be that downer.
Do you want me to be honest with you, though? This was the first Mother's Day in a really long time that it was not hard.
That's so great.
Because Mother's Day for me has always been really hard.
Yeah.
Because even when she was alive and she
You didn't have that.
Life,
you didn't have it.
And my thing is always like, this is so mean, but I'm like, I'm not going to celebrate a mother who's not a mother.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, during the time where we didn't speak, it was really hard. And then the first Mother's Day after she died, I think that was the first time I posted or said anything about her in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, I don't know, it was just kind of came full circle. I was like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be with my family. I don't have to worry about, you know, what's mom doing? Is she okay? Or, you know, oh man, I didn't post anything about her. She's going to be really upset about that or whatever. And I'm like, it's not about that. Like, I could not care less. Like, of course, Andy posted something super sweet. He absolutely did not have to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, okay, so, you know, I've said I've been called to be a mom. And I have these two beautiful babies that I have given birth to, but then I have a stepson.
Yeah.
But then I have my brother and my sister.
I know.
And there's other people. And for me to think that I was never going to be able to have a baby, and God's like, no, 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 don't worry. Like, I've got you. On Mother's Day, I had my babies woke me up telling me Happy Mother's Day. My siblings wrapped me up in a hug telling me Happy Mother's Day. There were four or five friends of mine who texted me, you included, and were like, thank you for being the mom that I needed to.
Yeah.
I just squalled, because I'm like, you know, God did fulfill my dream to have and be able to go through experiencing pregnancy, and because I wanted that. I really did. Like, I would have adopted if I had to.
Oh, yes.
But I wanted to experience that.
And I think that's so natural, though.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I wanted to feel that. And I went through, and like, I had that, I did, but then God showed me, he's like, look, you've been a mom to all
you
of these people.
You have always been a mom.
And that made my heart so happy to know that I've been able to be that.
And isn't that so crazy? Like in the thick of things, like, you're like, you know, you have your eyes set on something and you're just like, I want this so badly. And then you look back and you're like, it makes sense, because I was this, this, and this all along. I just didn't even know it.
No. And it's like the
so
people
crazy.
Who have mom issues, it's like they flock to me.
Yeah,
because I was always that mom.
Our trauma unites.
Yeah, we bonding. And I'm like, you know, I went through all of this stuff with my mom to turn around and be this mom friend.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a different mom friend than Gabby. Gabby is our mom. She will
be. Yes.
But no, I've been able to.
You turned like such an ugly, harsh thing into something so beautiful and poured so much into so many people. You know, and like, I was thinking about like this podcast, like I haven't shared this with you and I haven't told anybody, and I'm so excited. So like, I know during this podcast, I have talked about how, like, you know, me and Bradley, when we first met, like, we were young, we were 23, we would go to the club every once in a while and we'd have a drink or two or whatever. But, you know, me and him have been sober for like 4 years now. And, you know, we still didn't live the way we were supposed to live. But after having Essie, I was very intentional of what I said, what I did. And I wanted to be the mom that I needed, that I always wanted, that I yearned for years.
I was like,
I'm not making any mistakes. And, of course, I was going to make mistakes.
And that's harder on yourself than
anything. Yes, I mean, of course it was going to happen. But, like, I know you've struggled with this podcast with the change, and like last week we were talking, and like, you know, one extreme to the other, and you know, it's starting over.
Mm-hmm.
But you have obeyed and like done everything you're supposed to do, and with that, like, you know, of course I'm listening, and I have turned all my music around and everything I do around. I'm like, if Bridget says it, I'm doing it.
Oh gosh, 'cause
Bridget knows. But you know, that's how I've always looked at you, like, I'm doing it, you know. And it's funny, I look back on some things and I'm like, who was I back then? And you know, but I'm such a different person. Like, I'm telling you, since you started this darn podcast, like, what in the world? But for you to like question like what you're doing next, what you need to do, like, your assignment has been filled already, because I'm different, my husband is different, the way our lives are living is different. Essie's life is going to be different and full because she now has parents. We're getting baptized May 26th together, and like, that was never even on my radar.
I love that.
And like, I don't want you to ever like feel like, oh, you know, I know that you did really well on the old one, but like, maybe your assignment was just to have me to have that desire, and you did that.
No.
Like, I know it's not just you, like, it's God and everything, but like, you changed me, and like, you have always changed me, and like, I've always like taken so much from you, and like, our friendship and like everything, but like, I'm not the same person. Like, I feel it in myself. Like, me and Bradley, we read the Bible at night together. Like, I listen to the Bible now. And like, that is insane, because anytime I would ever dare try to read the Bible, it was always so overwhelming to me. Mm-hmm. I never got anything out of it, and I would get frustrated. And I'm like, you know what? Praying's enough. And like, but I didn't know him to even... Like, you have to know him.
Yeah.
And just, it's changed my life and changed how, like, I do daily things. And that's just me. Like, think of everyone else. Like, all of your listeners. Like, you have to really think about that. And, like, I told you, like, Book, Bag, and Tag fed your wallet. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so successful. But, like, and this will be, too. Like, I've always heard, anything worth having, it does not come easy.
Yeah.
And that's so true. And I feel like this is one of those things.
I think I compare the beginning of this podcast to the ending of the other.
Yeah.
And that's where we're not even at the same spot.
No, you can't do that. And it's totally different. It's like, but this is so successful already, and you have no idea, because numbers and likes and follows and all that do not matter, because you are now feeding souls instead of your wallet. And I told you that, and I hope that makes that resonates with you, because it does for me, because you have changed me.
Every single time I have a moment where I doubt myself, somebody
Who
listens will send me a message, and they're like, you have no idea how spot on you were about this. And I'm like, well, that was God, that's not me. Like, and that's where I'm like, that's all I want to do. When I heard his calling out of that, it was so strong. Mm-hmm. There was no denying it. I knew.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I don't regret it, because I knew I was supposed to, but where do I go now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been struggling with. But it's like, every time I have that moment of, is God just closing this door altogether? Somebody's like, no.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's helping me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's literally changed my life. And, like, as it has changed my life, it's already changed two other lives. Like, Essie will now have what she deserves. And, like, I have tried ever since she was born to just feed her with Jesus. Like, I'm so starting out on, like, a little bitty kid level.
Yeah.
Like, because I didn't grow up like that. I didn't grow up, you know, with that concern. Like, my parents, it wasn't on their radar. Like, they didn't focus on that. You know, it was like, I was fed and I slept. So, there it is. But, you know, she's 2 years old, but I intentionally enrolled her in a Christian preschool, because at 2 years old, I want her to know more than I know.
No.
I want her to be taught more than I ever was.
train a child up in God, and that's the way they will go. I mean, and I think that that's honestly why faith has always been very easy to me, to where I'm like, I don't know, it's just what God said. I don't know, that's just what you do. But it's because of my dad. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always wanted to be for my kids, is they make their own decisions when they're old enough to make them. That is fine. But, like, my middle one, my oldest, he was such a little miracle. I mean, just, I did not think I was going to have a baby. And then here he comes along. And then he starts asking all these questions about God.
Is that not the sweetest, most fulfilling
it is
thing?
And we were in the car one morning. This was back in September. And he's like, you know, Mommy, what is heaven? What is hell? And I'm like, in a very age-appropriate level, explaining it to him. And he's like, well, if I go to hell, will you be there? Oh, and God. I said, like, I don't want to scare him.
That is so heavy.
I know. I was like, well.
Like, why are you starting it this early in the morning?
I was like, well, I'm going to go to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. And he goes, well, I want to go. And I said, well, is Jesus in your heart? And that baby just started praying. And he got saved on the way to school.
Is that not amazing? That is that is the moment of a lifetime.
It is, and I was just squalling, because I'm like, I want it to be his choice, right? Like, it's his decision, but I have to lead him there.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right because he's asking.
Oh, yeah.
And then a couple months later, he don't even know what baptism is, right?
Yeah.
A couple months later, he goes, well, Mom, when do I get baptized? And I was like, do you want to be? And he's like, yes. Well, come to find out, he was all excited when he found out there was water involved.
Of course.
He was asking.
We're going swimming at the church.
Oh, look. He was asking me when he would be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't know that.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the night before, my sister had been talking about, like, different things. And so he goes, Mom.
Oh, my
gosh. He said, Mom, when do I get my powers?
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, what? He goes, when do I get baptized?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like,
how sweet.
But he uses that. Like, he prays. He does the prayer at school. He prays for people when they're sick. Some little boy in his class was sick, and he prayed for him during the moment of silence.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
He ended up coming in late. And when that little boy walked in, he goes, praise Jesus, he's healed.
Yes, amen, baby.
I'm like, that's what I want. I want my kids to, the first thing they think of is, that's God. That's God.
Yes. The goal is, when you see Essie Jewel, I want you to know that she is Jesus. She is light. I want her to be that person. You know, like, that is what you strive for.
Absolutely.
You know, and like,
because my thing is, like, and for you too, it's, if something ever happens to me, I know my dad's always said, if something ever happens to me, I won't. That's why he records the sermons. He's like, I want my kids to know how I feel about these subjects. And I'm
like,
if something ever happens to me,
that
I
is
want my babies
so
to know.
Special.
That's why he started recording, because I have every single sermon from the time he started the church. Because he said, I want my kids to have, if they need to know, if something happens to me, I want my kids to know this is what Daddy said.
What a gift. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That is, like, that's so touching. You gave a warning we would cry. Oh, my God. I don't feel bad for them for hearing us cry, because you gave a warning.
I told y'all. But it's real. And, I mean, Andy tries to help me not cry, so
that
when I start to cry, he says something funny, and then I'm just like, no, but for real.
No, we can lean into it.
We're gonna lean.
No, but like, I forgot what I was gonna say.
I don't know. I love my daddy. I know that's, I mean, my daddy put up with more than he ever should have had to put up with, but because of the person that he is, I'm able to be the, because of the daddy who he was, I'm able to be the mom that I am.
Like, what a ripple effect.
Absolutely.
That's so important. It's so important.
Look, you may give you one better than that. My Nana's baby brother, who, like, y'all know how I am with my brother.
Yeah.
This was her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He comes to church on every Mother's Day with my nanny and sits with her. And he came up to me crying.
Oh.
And he was like, I'm just so proud of Eveline's family.
Oh.
And I said, Ronnie, it's not just Eveline's family. I was like, it's your daddy's family. The promise that he made in a foxhole in Germany, that if God let him come home, he would give his life to God. He did that.
Oh,
the first
gosh.
Thing he did when he came home was build a family altar. And every single night before bed, they prayed. And because of that, his entire family, there's pastors, there's youth leaders, there's musicians, there's all of these things. And like, you can just look, and I don't mean this as a bragging way, but you can look at that little, our family, and we're so blessed.
and you see Jesus in your family, like, that is
because of a promise a man made.
Amazing.
And if that does not tell you about breaking generational curses, I don't know what
that is. So crazy.
He gave his life to God and made sure he raised his children up in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, of course, we've all had our moments, but all of us, you can see how God has shaped our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And because my grandpa was who he was, he raised this daughter, mm-hmm. who not only is an amazing mother to my dad and my uncle, but to us three kids. I mean, that was our mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then she raises this man who I don't even understand how my dad had done what he done. I mean, he was a single dad with three kids, running a business, pastoring a church, on the dean's list in college,
the
same time. And I'm like, I don't know how you did what you did, but
praise doesn't God that for... just sound so overwhelming?
I can't even go to Walmart by myself with the kids.
Well, honey, so you're doing pickup orders after kid drop off.
And he's like doing all of these things while still making sure to take us on vacations and have the best childhood.
And pour into you.
Yes.
Like...
And I'm like, okay, you know, and then I take that. And then I've always looked at us three kids and I'm like, which one of us are going to be a preacher? Because I'm like, I wonder, you know? And I'm like, well, it's Logan, because he's the boy. And now I'm like, no.
Jesus
no.
over there laughing at you.
And then my sister, you know, we prayed for a piano player at the church.
Shout out
for
to hubby Logan.
Oh, yeah. My brother has a crush on Emily.
I don't think he does anymore.
Not anymore. She ruined it for him. She embarrassed him.
Oh, my gosh.
But my sister, we prayed for a piano player for years. Okay, well,
We
were waiting until Cassie grew up, I guess, because, I mean, like a decade and a half.
I didn't know that.
We prayed and prayed and prayed for a piano player because we would have people come in, but then they would leave. So then Cassie comes along. She plays the piano. She sings. She's our worship leader. And then I've always been the person at the church who, like, I'm the event person, or like I'll start something up, I'll get children's church started, and then I pass it off, like, let me help you orchestrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Logan, you know, he does a lot on his own. He's still coming. He's just 18. He's graduating next week. Like, he's still figuring himself out. But I really think that, you know, I always wondered who would end up preaching more, and I'm like, God, like,
is it me?
And I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be what my dad is, but in my own little way, I've become that. And
tell
me after they listen, they're like, you sound just like your daddy. And I'm like, you have no idea the compliment.
What an honor.
Like, it is.
Such, I mean, and how you do it in a way where you reach so many is just, I mean.
I never thought this would be where I'm at, because for so long I couldn't find my spot in
things. I know.
And then
we would kind of laugh about it, like, what are you doing this week, Bridget?
Yeah,
you know?
What was it like? I was painting.
You were searching for what you were supposed to do. Yes.
First of all, because I was going through so much with my mom that if I sat still and quiet, it was too loud.
I know.
So I'm just like doing all of the
things.
And
we knew that. We sat back and we were like, bless her.
But we didn't know how to help you.
We had no idea how to help you. You can't really.
I found the podcast and I'm like, oh, I love this. And then, of course, I take something that's fun, like my husband says, and I make it not fun. because he's like painting. Like, you did it and you enjoyed it because it helped you, but then you turned it into something.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, this lady I would talk to, she was like, Bridget, just enjoy it. But I'm such like a, okay, well, what can I do to contribute kind of person? Mm-hmm. And then I worked myself to the bone doing Booked, Bagged, and Tagged. And like, I don't think people realize how, unless you were watching me, like you and Gabby and Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a lot out of me.
I know. And it was hard watching that and not knowing what to say or how to say it. Like, I would say certain things like, you know, here and there, but I didn't want to step on your toes and make you feel any type of way.
No.
But me and Gabby often said, like, Andy need to tell her.
Somebody gotta tell her,
because we don't know how.
And he would try, bless him, but honestly, I'm stubborn.
Yeah.
And it had to be God, and it was. And now I'm like, I don't know, it's just, it feels so right, but it's still hard, just figuring out your footing and everything, but I know I'm doing the right thing. It's just, and I guess that's why the devil's hitting me so hard with it, is because I know I'm doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is really hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but, yeah. But, you know, what I told you the other day, and I heard this somewhere, I can't even put my finger on it, but it was talking about seasons, like how you go through different seasons of life, like, and like when you, you know, have this plant and you prune it, take all the dead off, but it always comes back fuller and prettier. I feel like the transition from one podcast to the other is your pruning season.
Absolutely.
And taking off the dead. Not that Book, Bag, and Tag was like dead. No, like, it was so amazing and so great. Entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is just, like, this is food for your soul.
Absolutely.
And like, it's coming back fuller and better and prettier and
that's what
something
I told
sweeter,
Amy.
Honeys. Like, it is.
That's what I told Andy is, I'm like, I know the, not that it was all about the money, but I mean, that was my job.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, nice.
I know.
It's nice.
That whatever I give up for God, he will give me back tenfold.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I've just got to be obedient. I've just got to do it. And then however God is going to, you know, bless us in that, then that's just how he's going to do it, whether it be now or later.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I've held on to that. But thank you so much for coming today.
Look,
not only am I happy that I got to see you because we've been wanting to see each other, but
we've been planning to get it together for your birthday for what, since May 1st?
Yeah. You know, we're just 15 days
away. It's fine. It's totally fine. It's like, cool. Schedules at this point, what are they?
No.
But you know what? I'm kind of scared
for
you to publish this because they're going to be like, Andy who? Andy who? Like, we love Andy, but they're going to be
we
like,
we need a honeys. Like,
honeys. We miss him.
We'll have to have you back often.
They're going to be like, so it's the Bridget and M show? Like, yes. Yes.
Oh, well, you know, what was it? It was, I used to call, okay, so Emily's name is Emily Jordan.
Yeah.
And I would call you MJ.
No, I was thinking the other day, I was like, Backwoods Barbie and MJ Rocks Your Socks is back at it.
I forgot about that.
That was our MySpace
so
names.
So cheesy. Backwoods Barbie.
In middle
and
school,
M
it was hitting. It was hitting hot. Yeah. I'm still MJ Rocks Your Socks. Like, to this day, I'm MJ Rocks Your Socks. And you will forever be Backwoods Barbie.
Hey, I think
like,
that's very fitting.
Like, it's fine.
It the MySpace
It
days.
Is fine. Like, we had the pages, though. We had the pictures.
I remember that night I spent the night at
your
house.
Oh, my gosh.
We spent the whole night. I knew my ex-boyfriend's MySpace password. And
yes,
we spent
ma'am.
The whole night
yes,
changing
ma'am.
His MySpace to a
things
lot
we're
of,
not going to talk about.
No, yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
And everyone would turn this podcast off
to
real
this
quick.
Day, I will never forget him being like, yeah, somebody like hacked my stuff.
And you're like, know. Oh, really?
But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this special episode of, I about said Book to of Something Sweeter podcast with my bestie gal pal over here.
With the Something Sweeter over here.
Oh. Maybe.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh,
I'm pretty sweet.
And our live audience who is losing his patience.
Been the whole entire clap thing.
Yeah. What is it?
Where they edit it and they're like, yeah, the fake claps. He's been that the whole time.
But hope you guys have a fantastic week and tune in for the next episode next week for episode, well, this will be 10, so it'll be episode 11, but let us know in the comments. I'll have to take a picture with him here in a second so
oh
we can
lord
post
have
it.
Mercy
girl,
oh gosh
on.
Oh no,
but we'll have to post it and just let us know how you liked the episode and if you really want more like this. But I guess we'll go say see ya.
God bless you, honeys.
Toodles.
Toodles.